when I was a kid, raised in church, these songs that she plays, that's all we ever heard. And I was so thankful when I didn't have to hear them anymore. And now I'm so thankful that I'm hearing them. It's totally different. Totally different. That's kids. Can't wait to get to the next thing. Didn't know what they had when they had it. Praise the Lord. All righty. Next week, 6644 Wadsworth. We've got several reasons for, not that there's anything wrong with this, but we've got several reasons where that's going to be better. I know it's going to be a little more inconvenient for some, a little more convenient for others. It won't be our last final place, I can guarantee you that. But it gives us a little relief, not just in finances, but in places for the children, so Patrick doesn't have to. I think Patrick's ready to start sleeping with his wife instead of our sound equipment. So, for some reason, I think he thinks that might be better. And I'm sure if she were here, she'd agree that it'd be better for that to be somewhere else. So, praise the Lord. Thank you for allowing me to leave last week. Thank the Lord for His presence here with you. It's encouraging to me and you and all. We had a successful time, worked very hard, long hours, and got the job done by God's help. Desiree's greatly blessed with a home. She's pretty excited about that. We're kind of excited with her, believe that or not. She walks blessed in the Lord. So, we're not anxious for them to leave, but we are anxious for them to get in their own home. Amen. And not have to camp with us. That's not been a negative to us, but I know it has. I'm anxious to get some reports from the kiddos about their huge backyard. I think I'm more excited about that than the kids are. I'd like to have that backyard. Yeah. Alrighty. Let's bow our heads, pray. Father, we do wait on you right now. We will sit here in peace, listening for your still small voice to touch us. We're not anxious to hear a man's voice. We're anxious to hear yours. Move on us today. Not so somebody can hear or somebody can say that was a great message, but so that when we walk away, we can say, that changed me. That's what we want from you today. To be brought into your likeness and image. We're not asking you to meet us here at our need. We're asking you to draw us to where you are with our needs so that the needs will disappear and we can soar as an eagle. Praise you, Lord. You can only soar as an eagle from a high place. The only high place I know of is with you. Draw us to you today, Lord, by your word, by your spirit, and by your will. For that we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, how many of you here are perfect today? You've been listening too much to me. Well, praise the Lord. It doesn't make any difference if you want to speak charismatically. I am perfect through the blood of Jesus. If you want to speak theologically correct, I am being perfected by the Spirit of the living God. And if you want to speak on a personal friendship basis with the Lord, He sees me as perfect. We need to remember that. Okay, the title of this message is The Way, the Truth, and the Life. What else is there? You know, I'm so glad that God deals in things that I can understand. You know that? He keeps it simple so that I can hear it and I can understand it and I can turn it into a walk. Nothing is more discouraging to stand around hearing theologians, educated people, spout nonsense. And if you ask them if that's happened in their life, they wouldn't tell you that. They just tell you what they've been taught. And I'm glad that my relationship with God is not through teaching, but by through relationship.
Amen.
Often, many times, since she rose her hand, had her hand raised, and I'll use her as an example. Often during the night, I'm awakened by her. I hear breathing in whatever way that is. And sometimes even snoring. Now, she'd tell you she didn't do that, but I'm the one that was awake, you know. And what I understand and I don't understand at the same time is though that this is an irritation. You might say being awakened at night is an irritation. It's also a tremendous comfort. And it's so comforting and it gives me joy that I have to touch her or hug her or kiss her or something during the night. I don't consider it annoying. I consider it a blessing. And in that, I begin to understand how God feels about us. Because I ask you if anybody was perfect, and only the one I used for an example said she was. We walk and mostly by our own judgment of ourselves or others, we walk in our own imperfections. And yet, God considers those to be those little quirks that He so much enjoys. Now, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about those things that we just don't talk about to other people. You know? This morning, I was awakened, and I can tell you, I was probably snoring. And God woke me up before the alarm ever went off. And with His still, small voice, I heard Him speak some things to me. Now, He nudged me and said, quit snoring. But He told me some things. He told me He loved me. He said, you are anointed. These are His words. You are powerful. Walk into any situation and don't be afraid. You're filled with My Spirit. And you are Mine. That was a nice time. He didn't bother to say, excuse me, it's 4:30. Can I speak to you? Because those of us that cherish the voice of God, we don't much care what time it comes.
Amen.
It's a good time. Those that want His presence and His opinion and His mindset will take it at any time and any place. Because it's life. It's life-giving. He didn't. You know one thing He didn't say in there is you're perfect? I've talked to Him about that. Because then it may not fit in some charismatic circles. But who cares about being perfect if God thinks I work well? You know? I don't care. By the way, I'm not just talking about other people's opinion. I'm talking about my opinion of me. What difference does it make if I think that I could do better? If God says, I want to tell you something. I like you just like you are. It doesn't mean He wants me to stay where I am, but He likes me right where I am. And I'm beginning to understand, not because of old age, but because of well workings, that things that are new are not always the best. You know what I'm saying? Now let me back up and say it another way. I would, if God would listen to my request, my life would be new every morning. Okay? But I got a feeling that that's not what's best for me. Right? I heard a guy say one time, well, it was actually a guy high up in Promise Keepers. He said, I am so tired of waking up in a new motel room every morning, and I'm not even too sure what city I'm in. I literally have to get up and I have to look at something to remember where I'm at. So something new all the time, every moment, is not as beneficial as we sometimes wish it would be. God doesn't want to change me completely every moment. Because it wouldn't be good for me, and it wouldn't be good for Him. So what do I need to do? I need to seek His mind in those areas He wants me to change. I need to work in those areas and accept the rest of them to be well enough for the moment. Right? If they weren't well enough for the moment, God would tell me so. But if He's not telling me, we need to shut up about complaining about each other or ourselves. Leave it alone for the moment. I asked you if you were perfect. Not anybody, but one held their hands. You know who I'd be if I was perfect? I'd be God, and some of you'd be in trouble. You know who the person that would be in the most trouble? Me. Because I am super critical of me. And I don't think that's the will of God. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't believe it's the will of God. We're going to have to learn to drop the opinion of ourselves and of others and seek the thoughts and mind of God. Now let's back up for a second. If I happen to know that Bob's not perfect, then I've got... Well, you can look whatever Bob you want to. There's several in here. If I happen to know that, and I go by my opinion, there will be no grace. Because there's no grace in you and I. You can claim it all you want to, and there's none in you and I. The only grace is to be found in Christ Jesus. And therefore, the only way I can understand if someone else and myself is deserving of grace is to be in Christ Jesus. Because my opinion will never say, oh, Bob deserves grace. What my opinion will be is, Bob deserves a good slap. Right? Well, I think that of myself quite often, so I know that you must know that I think it about you once in a while. And, of course, that leads on to, well, they're going to get what they deserve. And none of us want that for any of us. Right? So what we need to stay is in the mind of God about not only ourselves, which is number one. If we don't learn to think about ourselves like God thinks about us, we will never have a high opinion of anyone else.
Right.
We're not allowed to. I can never rise above myself in love or grace or mercy. We're going to have to find out where God is. If I'm going to have an argument with you, I need to find out where God is in this argument. Now, come on. You can look at me, but you think about that for a moment. It'll change the way you argue. If we're going to have a fight, which is okay, let's find out where God is in this fight. That means I have to know His opinion about right and wrong on both sides, not just pointing to you, but about me also. And then I have to walk that out so that at the end of this fight, God's opinion of me will be maybe a little better than it was when I walked into it. Come on. I know that's a little complicated, but not really. Where is God in this matter? What does He think? How do I get to rest in His rest? You know, the experience that we all should seek for, pray for, if nothing else, fast for, is that I can walk into any battle and walk out and God's proud of me. I was at rest in Him, He was at rest in me, and we accomplished what we needed to accomplish. God's not afraid of fights. He likes them because He knows. Well, there's even a little old saying on the way to church here by my house. It says I believe it says something like in a result or an answer. That's what it is. I believe it's an answer. Is the result of conflicts of opinions. Now, that's just psychology. God's much higher than that, which tells you, let's look for the word conflict. Most of the conflict that you and I have is within ourselves. And the reason we don't handle battles and warfare very well is because we haven't handled it within ourselves very well. We haven't learned to stop taking wrong criticism and start taking right critique. You hear me? The Bible says I'm supposed to be one looking in the mirror. Well, what am I looking for in the mirror? A flaw? Something that needs to be corrected? If I didn't think that there was a flaw or something needed to be corrected, what am I looking in the mirror for? If it's just to enjoy and thrill my countenance, well, then we already got a serious problem. So I look into God's Word. I look into the mind of God. I look into the face of Jesus, looking for a flaw in me, not my perfection, to see a flaw in you. Okay, I don't hold up a mirror like this, so you'll think I'm looking at me, but I'm really looking at you. That's not the will of God. To look at these things seems to be hard. It seems like people have a hard time with these things, with looking at, I've got a conflict with whoever. Now, God, how am I going to handle this conflict so that You get glory, so that you get honor, and so that your will be done, not mine. The reason we have a hard time with that is most of us never want to change our stand. I've got an opinion. I don't like fish. And the hardest thing I can do in life is to let anybody know that fish is good. Shall we bring up other things? You understand what I'm saying? Why is that? Why is that? Because our flesh serves our father Satan many times. In the fact that Satan fell because he wanted to be God, he didn't want to serve God. And that's why we have that trouble. I'm not going to change because I'm God. Oh, I'd never say that. I know you wouldn't. You'd lie. You'd never admit that was a God complex in me coming out. Hey, if you can't admit it, I can. I don't like to be wrong. I refuse it with great effort. Doesn't make it right or wrong. I could still be wrong and still say I'm not wrong. Right? If I'm consulting the mind of God, and I'm not too good at this, but God is, He can tell me I'm wrong and not insult me. Does often. And the cool part about that is that the more He tells me I'm wrong, I don't get more and more down on myself. I get more and more up on myself. Here's what Jesus says for these things that we have a hard time dealing with. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. Now this is the part that doesn't seem to be emphasized. We emphasize this in salvation only. It says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And we think, oh, that means being saved. And it don't mean that at all. If we believe that we've been on the right track studying Jeremiah, we know the thoughts that, or he says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, and I need to know those thoughts, then the only way to get to those thoughts is through Jesus. That's what this scripture says. The only way to hear the small, still small voice of God, which is His thoughts and His opinions and His words over me, is through Jesus. But our goal is to get to the Father.
Right.
One of the things that I am understanding is that we've been duped in believing that our goal was to get to Jesus. Jesus' goal was to get to us. God's goal, our goal, was for He and us to get together. We might be the bride of Christ, but we are sons and daughters of God. And if I'm to know what I'm supposed to do, who I'm supposed to marry, where I'm supposed to live, where I'm supposed to go to church, what I'm supposed to do for every moment of the day, I have to get to the mind of God. And the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, what do you mean by that? That's confusing. No, it's not confusing. Jesus is not insulted if He knows you're trying to get to the Father.
Amen.
This is not humans we're talking about here. This is unrestrained love and no jealousy. You're not going to insult Jesus by wanting to get into the mind of God. You're not going to get God upset by studying the Word. No jealousy. But Jesus came to us and told us, the only way you're going to get to the Father is through me. He said, I am the way. Except the different language, the same meaning as I am that I am. Which means I am the course of life, the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know the way that we're to go, it has to be through Jesus. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean through Jesus? What does it mean I need to get to the Father through Jesus? The simplest way to answer is what He said. God sent Jesus as a thought process, an answer to man's predicament. All right? God so respected Jesus because He totally obeyed Him. A lifestyle. Consulted the Father before He did anything. Responded with the words in the mind of the Father in everything. And when He said, you will do it in my name, Jesus said, on the Father said in Jesus' name. He didn't mean going around chanting in Jesus' name. He meant, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow the example, the character, and the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus' goal was to know what God was thinking, know what God was saying, say the very same thing, act it out, live it out. Now that's what we do if we do it, if we go to the Father through Jesus. We thank God for the lifestyle, for the sacrifice, for the purity and the honesty and the loyalty of Jesus Christ. Now I want to be so. I want to be that. That's how I get to the Father. See, nobody can say, I want to be like God. It's not possible because our finite minds cannot understand the position of God, the presence of God, or the lifestyle of God. Cannot do it. That's why Jesus was sent to this earth, to literally walk it out so we'd understand. Now all we have to do is say, I want to do it like He did it, and I will get to the Father. We'll never have rest. We'll never have peace. We'll never have abundance. We'll never have prosperity. We'll never have the anointing of God, the power of God, until we become satisfied with ourselves. Man, that's a strange way to approach this. That's what God was trying to tell me this morning in His words to me. I would never question whether God loved me or not. So why was He telling me that? He was explaining to me that I didn't have to jump through hoops. You see, His thoughts for me are happening on a continuous basis. And they're every minute particle of my life they deal with. And I don't have to seek Him after a calamity. If I have a calamity, I can seek Him. He has a mindset on how to get me out of it. But He wants me to know that He can keep me out of calamity. One of the best ways to operate in calamity is to be down on me. Just as I expected. I've always been that way. I always will. I ain't no good. Now, I know nobody says that out loud. Nobody ever says that out loud. But let me tell you something I also know. The devil says it to you often. And our trouble is we don't call him a liar. We don't quote to him what the truth is. We don't say what God's mind says to us, what the Spirit of the living God speaks to us. And the only way we're going to overcome, the only way I can overcome for you is to overcome for me. I can never help you out of a situation if I don't get my tail out of that situation. Now, it may help me to deal with you, but I must understand that the truth that I give to speak to you, or you to speak to me, must apply to you first and then to me. Me first and then to you. And if I can witness to you and I can say God loves you, don't say it unless you believe it about you. God can save you from all situations. Is that right? Let me see it in you first. Then you can be a minister like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was never a false prophet or false teacher because everything He taught was real in Him. He got it situated here first. How do you do that? Well, other Christians will call you egotistical. If you really operate in the mind of God, if you tell people how much God loves you, they're going to think, who do you? Oh, they're going to smile and they're going to say, bless God, and they're going to say, who does He think He is? Why? Because they're not there yet. They haven't got it resolved. They're not saved. They're not safe. They're not in love and they don't believe they're loved. We'll never have the true success that's in the mind of God. Listen to me, until you believe you are a success. That's just that simple. The devil's job is to teach you that you are not a success. You're a failure. God's job is to convince you His whole mindset, the presentation of the gift of Jesus Christ, salvation, the blood, the word, it was all given to you to convince you of who He thinks you are. There's only one formula to be at peace, to be loved, to be in love, to rest. And that's Jesus. What do you mean that's Jesus? That's you better know His lifestyle. You better know how He responded and how He didn't respond. And then you seek to be like Him. Because I'm going to tell you, that will seat you at the right hand of the Father. You live like He did and you respond like He does, it will put you in Christ Jesus, which is at the right hand of the Father. Listen to me. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. If you want to get to the Father, you got to be in or through Christ Jesus. That's at the right hand of the Father. Now, the cool part about dance and charisma is that they like to chant it, but they don't ever get at the right hand of the Father. You hear what I'm saying? I don't think it's an insult to God for me to think that I have the right to be at His right hand. That's what we say. But how come we don't act like that? That's the problem. It's working it out. It's walking it out. And He's exactly right. We are seated at the right hand of the Father. But if we start acting like that, somebody will come against it. And you know who will be the first one to come against it? You. Me. Well, that is the church, by the way, you and me. We're the first ones that start making excuses why things are not going right in our lives. And you listen to me. It will always refer to either you personally or somebody close to you. In other words, you're going to get the blame, or the best way is to blame somebody else. Adam, it's that woman you gave me. You hear what I'm saying? It's either going to be I'm taking the blame or I'm laying it off on somebody else. Instead of standing up and saying, it's not true. I can't do this. It's not true. I will always do it that way. It's not true. You want to stay in the right hand of the Father? You better stay in the Word. And don't let the devil lay words on you and I. I'm telling you, it goes cross-grain with me because I like perfection. But we don't have to be perfect to be in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. We have to speak perfect. See, it's the way, the truth, and the life. The truth will set them free, the Bible says. Well, what does that mean? That means if I will speak the truth, if I will tell me, and if I will tell you who we really are in Christ Jesus, then it will set us free to be that person in Christ Jesus. I won't be dragging me, you won't be dragging me, and I won't be dragging you out of that seat. We have to be an eternal optimist by the Word. Anybody that doesn't think tomorrow won't be better than today is not seated at the right hand of God. Anybody that believes that illness is a natural state in a human being is not seated at the right hand of God. If I don't believe of every one of you in this place that God can't help you, then what I'm admitting is I believe that God can't help me. And I've just jerked us both out of the right hand of the Father. There is nothing in you and there is nothing in me that's beyond hope. Nothing. Because hope is a person also. To say that I can't be helped of that is to say Jesus is not enough.
That's right.
That God's thoughts and His Word is not enough. Now the thing that I deal with the most is that I have to remember that about you. Y'all can chuckle about that a little bit. But it's the truth. The minute I believe that one person on the face of this earth is without hope, I have no grace to offer. No mercy. You know what God is never going to tell me? He's never going to tell me about you or about me that we're without hope. Amen. Never. Even if He knows it, He won't tell me. Are you listening to me? Judgment Day is reserved for a day. And now's not the day to tell me those things. What I told you is important. You need to hear that. God will never tell you or I that someone is without hope. He won't do that. Even if He knows it, He won't do it. So the minute we start saying that there's no hope in that person, we're out of the right hand of the Father. We jumped out of the seat. In other words, we jumped out of truth, out of the way, and out of life. Is this getting through to you? Man, I want it to get through to you. Because the minute we start seeing with Jesus' eyes, we will reside at the right hand of the Father. The minute we start looking with flesh eyes, We no longer look through the way, the truth, and the life's eyes. And so what's left? If you take away the way, truth, and the life, what's left?
Yeah.
Destruction, no hope. And I got news for you. I don't even want to think about that. There are some people that I will never get along with. But that doesn't mean they're without hope. Come on.
Right.
Some of you need to shake your heads about that because you got some too. It doesn't mean they're without hope. And by the way, God will never gift you with the ability to make that decision.
That's right.
Did Jesus say, I didn't come to judge you? Did you know Jesus said that?
Yep.
Oh, then you are seated in the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And you will also be able to say, I'm not here to judge you.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Let's stay in that seat place. Let's stay with the eyes of Christ so we'll know the mind of God. We can talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Him for a minute. But let's never forget that I've heard you say that I'm in Christ Jesus. As we talk about Him. All right? He is the Word. Are you in the Word?
Yes.
Is the Word in you?
Yes.
Then you're not going to go around saying a bunch of things that's not in the Word, right?
Yeah. Amen.
That's how we stay in Christ Jesus, the right hand of the Father. Jesus is the truth. Do people know you to be one of truth? Are you always playing some silly game? It's me against them. See, it's never me against them.
Yeah.
Is Christ overcome the entire world? Am I in Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
Then I don't have an enemy. And He'll let me know about that one. He will let you know about an enemy of God because an enemy of God is not necessarily without hope. I was an enemy of God before I got saved.
Right.
You were an enemy of the cross before you got saved.
Right.
So don't worry about if God says that's an enemy. Don't chalk Him up as a permanent enemy. He might be food for you. Or He might be a future brother of yours. But either way, it's a good thing.
Amen.
Jesus is the walk. Come on. I wish I knew how Jesus walked. I'd try to walk that way. Physically. I know He walked spiritually. But if I thought I knew how He walked physically, I'd try to walk that way. And anybody who knows me and knows I don't mimic anybody. I got my way and it's my way. I don't really care about yours. But if I knew how Jesus walked, I'd try to mimic that. If I knew how He talked, I'd try to mimic that. He's the way. What does that mean? Well, it means I'm lost if I'm going any way but the way He went. He's healing. Listen to me. I never understood this. To this day, I don't understand this. But one of the greatest examples that Jesus lived was healing. And yet, we sweep that away. We ought to meditate on that as much as any other part of His life. We ought to mimic that. We ought to try it. We ought to, until it becomes real, we just act it out. Right?
Right.
I mean, the little kids, they try to act like adults, and they can't be adults, but one day they will be. And so they just keep acting until they are. That's the way we're going to have to be with Christ Jesus. He's abundance. He's abundance. The greatest thing that the Father ever told me about Jesus was He's rich. Because I was having a hard time. Do you know when the church teaches you something wrong, you'll try to do it and you'll have a hard time with it all of your life. The church tried to teach us we're supposed to be poor. Jesus was not in need of anything. Except one time, I think He remembered He didn't have a pillow to lay His head on. Why do we confess our wants and needs more than our abundance? We must not enjoy that cushy seat at the right hand of the Father. We're always trying to come up with reasons to get out of it. Let's stay in Him. And we'll know the mind of God about that. He's peace. Peace. Come on now. Peace. You know what peace is? Peace is when you can close your eyes and you don't have one cotton-picking thing to worry about. That's what peace is. Now, did I say you had everything? No, no, no. I said you don't have anything to worry about.
Right.
You know you'll always have to have peace before you can have abundance? Otherwise, you'll think abundance is your peace. Abundance will never give you peace. You've got to get peace before you have abundance. God is jealous. He doesn't like you pointing to anything else as your source. He's our rest. Did you know that? He's our light. That means we're not afraid of darkness. He's the opposite of fear. He's faith. So listen to me. I'm going to say it openly. I don't care if it's spiders, airplanes, or whatever. If you are afraid of something, you are not totally in Christ Jesus. Well, now, Stan, I got a feeling you're afraid of something. I didn't say that's perfect. I didn't raise my hand a while ago. There's still some things I'm working on. He's our salvation. That means my work is not my salvation. That means my wife is not my salvation. My children are not my salvation. The church is not my salvation. The government's not my salvation. My insurance policy is not my salvation. He is my salvation. He's my bread. Come on. He's my counselor. Jesus had an opinion about everything. Why? Because His Father had an opinion about everything. That's why. He's my deliverer. See, He doesn't just tell me how to do it. He helps me do it. I didn't hear any amen there. Amen. He's not just an advice giver. The yoke that we get into with Him is with Him. He's our head. He's love. What am I saying? I mean, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know what love is. Therefore, you don't have any to give. He's all wisdom. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? He is all wisdom. Somebody calls you stupid, you call him a liar. Because if you think you're at the right end of the Father in Christ Jesus, then they just call Jesus stupid.
Right.
Now, if all you can ever do is operate on your own thought processes, then you're stupid. Sorry, I'll agree with them. If it's all about, I'm stupid, if I can all I can ever do is use my own thought processes. He's the teacher. He's not only my Savior, He's my Redeemer. He's my lover. I know, all you guys got choked up then. Well, I'm honest enough to tell you that you'll never love your wife until you learn to love Jesus and let Him be your lover. It isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. My wife gets loved the way she gets loved because Jesus loves me the way He loves me. I've got an example. I told you I want to be like Him. He's all we ever need to get where the Father is. You know where the Father is? The throne of all things. The Father is at the throne of all things. We need to look for different terminology to understand who God is. He's the Creator. All right, He's the Creator. We got that one down. Let's find another word. He is sitting. Read your Genesis. He is sitting at the throne where all rivers go to feed the entire earth. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Rivers flow from His throne that feeds the entire earth. He's not just the Creator. He's the waterer. He's the one that gives food in abundance. Let's hit it again. He is the not only your Creator, He is your feeder, feed and your water.
Right.
And you're going to get it by understanding that and going to get to that the way Jesus got to that. He is not active, working. Please, when you pray around me, don't ask God to come to you. Because I'm going to know you don't understand the Word. God said, I did it all. I did it good. I looked. I said it was good. I've told you it's good. That includes you. Now I'm resting. Do you want to enter into my rest? My goodness, get that down. If I could just understand, I could sit with God saying, what I do is good, what I've done is good, what I'm going to do is good, because I say so, that's why.
Amen.
No, it's actually because God says so, and I'm repeating what He said. So I say so.
Amen.
And I'm not going to screw up all the days of my life. I'm not going to fool off all the days of my life. I'm going to leave a legacy to my family, my children, and their children, their children's children.
Amen.
Because that's the mind of God for me. I agree with Him and I get on the stick. How do I work this out? with fear and trembling through the Word.
Yeah.
What's the fear and trembling from? I want to make sure that I say it all the time and I don't miss it. That's the only thing I got to be afraid of, that my alligator mouth overloads my gnat behind. Not God's mouth. God's mouth will never overload me.
Amen.
It'll empower me.
Yes.
My mouth will overload me, short-circuit me. The throne of God is where all blessings flow from.
Yeah.
Now, if I want to be blessed, I better get to God through Jesus.
Yes.
The only way I'm going to know Jesus is to read about Him, listen for Him, pray. I will understand Jesus. I will see Jesus if I want to.
Right.
We timidly seek seeing His face, but I don't hear anybody talking about it. I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again. The reason I'm standing here right now is because I got hungry for Him. And in the middle of a praise and worship service, by myself in the middle amidst a lot of people, Jesus' face came right out of that side of the auditorium, right into my face. Sure as I'm standing here, I can tell you what He looks like. I don't care what anybody says. I know that that one visit from Him, it's not the last, but that one visit from Him completely changed my theology.
Amen.
Completely changed it. I guarantee at that moment old things passed away and it's on to new. Why? Because the old things were not all right. I'd been taught wrong. I'd heard wrong. I'd believed wrong. God, the Bible says that God is at rest. Did you know that? God is at rest. All abundance, all healing, all peace, all joy, all love is in His rest. If He is rest, if He's at rest and blessings are flowing out of Him, then it's rest that's flowing out of Him. And everything else is a subhead under that.
Right.
Hebrews 4, 1 through 3 says this. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands. Did you hear me? I can still have rest. Won't you say that? I can still have rest. No matter what, I can still have rest. That's what it's saying. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful. Isn't that amazing? How can careful and rest be in the same sentence? Well, it says this. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of that rest. That's what we be careful for. That's what I've been talking about all morning. Let's don't fall short of what God wants for us. Verse 2. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, the ones that didn't get into His rest. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith, and faith without works is dead. So in other words, what you're hearing this morning, you're going to have to put into effect, or it'll make not one dent in one little aspect of our life. It'll never touch us. And where the door was painted here, says rest, enter in, we just said, that's for somebody else. Or we were foolish enough to say, I'm at rest. Do I have any trouble resting? But there's a better way. I'm not afraid, but I know there's a place where there's less fear than what I got now. I'm not worried about a lot of things. I have to fight that. But I know there's a better place than that. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has told us to do. We who believe enter it. Let me say it another way. If you believe, you're going to be at rest or you're going to be entering into that rest. We're all not there yet, so we may be in stages, but we're going to be. What's rest mean? It means you're going to be getting more and more peaceful, more and more like God, less and less worried. You hear me? That should be the goal of our lives, entering into God's place, His rest, and His mindset. The only way to get there, it says right up here, be careful. The only way to get there is to resist and cast down our own ideas that war against God's thoughts and plans for us. I'm going to say it again. Our own ideas are what wars against God's ideas, His plans for us. Why do you say that? I'm going to say it again before it's over. I want to tell you that so that we'll stop blaming anybody else. I'm not your problem. You're not my problem. We need to work at casting down our own ideas that war against God's thoughts and plans for us. That's just another way of saying what I've already told you. I am not worried about your future. I know what God has said about His plans for your future.
Amen.
I'm not worried about that anymore. Can we just lay those things at rest? If we can start somewhere, let's start this. I'm not worried about your sin. I'm not worried about your missing the mark, because that's taken care of in the plans of God for you. If you'll just yield to God's mindset, His plans, you've got a future. All right, now if I can get that out of the way, then I can take me in the back closet and start setting me straight.
Amen.
And I'll never have a right again of running you down. That's confusion. That's deceiving. That's the devil's way of getting you off track. Put you in my face. If I can get you out of my face, now that don't mean kick you out. I mean I no longer worry about you and God. He's got plans for you. Then I can go away, I can be by myself, and I'd say, you know what, if you've got any problems, they're your problems. Quit trying to blame somebody else. Quit trying to look somewhere else. And I can literally say, all right, God, what do you have for me? I'm not saying it won't involve you, but if I can find out what God has planned for me to say and do, then if it does involve you, it's going to be a whole lot better than before. It's going to involve the mind of God. I'm going to say it correct. We've got to battle our own built-in feelings of inadequacies. I'll guarantee you, if God Himself, let me look at me and listen. If God Himself walked in here and looked at you, Harry, and said, I'm going to ask you, Harry, and provide for you, Harry, but I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to ask you to perform at Carnegie Hall with your guitar. You know what, Harry's? I'm serious now. I already know what his response is. He did it. Oh, yeah. Well, why? Because that's all of us. What we try to do is we limit ourselves to what our talent is at the moment. We never say, God, you gave me the talent. I know you can do better with it if I can do better. Come on. It doesn't make any difference what God asks us to do. Let me say it another way. If God asks us to do something, He has already provided the ways and the means.
Amen.
It's done. Therefore, we are to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
That means I can do it. You don't have to get scripturally perfect. Just say, that means I can do it.
Good.
If we don't fight and resist, listen carefully, another important statement. If we do not resist our feelings of inadequacy, they will become more real than God.
Yes, that's right.
I'm telling you, we believe us. That's the problem. We believe everything we think and say. That's why we have to control what we think and say. We have to point it in the right direction so we'll believe the right things. Otherwise, we'll believe what that foolish voice tells us. I'm not worthy. I'm not talented enough. Paul said, I can't speak. You know, you understand? I can't sing. I can't witness. I can't preach. I can't teach. Those are things that we hear all the time. And if we listen to those, we won't listen to God. They'll become more real than what God says about us. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What does that tell you? Don't listen to your heart anymore.
Amen.
Oh, you've got to trust your heart. Then don't trust God, because God just says don't trust your heart.
Right. Right. Exactly right.
That means all those feelings that run through you, if they don't make sense in God's mind, tell them to get.
Amen.
Romans 8:7-9 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God.
Right.
You are guaranteed that your first thoughts will be wrong. We don't like to hear that, do we? Because we're so brilliant. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. What's the law of God? The law of blessings and prosperity and salvation and healing.
Right.
So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me say it another way. Those that are in the flesh are not seated at the right hand of the Father. In other words, we've allowed our flesh to convince us to get out. By the Word of God, by our faith in what God thinks, we need to get back in there.
Amen.
Stay in there. Quit being coaxed out. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. Let me read the New Living Bible's version of that. Because the old sinful nature within us is against God. You know the safest thing you can tell yourself right at this moment? My nature is against God. Just admit it. Don't be ashamed of it. Just admit it. That way you'll know who to fight. Your nature. My old sinful nature within us is against God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their old sinful selves, bent on following their old evil desires, can never please God. But you are not like that. You are controlled by your new nature if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ living in him, he is not a Christian at all. Now that's tough. There's only one safe place that we can be. That is in the mind of God or the mind of Christ. We must believe what he thinks more than what we think.
Yeah.
Now come on. Are y'all getting a clue that I might be battling with this? Good. I wouldn't be preaching this 10, 15 times if I wasn't battling with it.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to say that, but let me tell you what else. The battle has been won.
Amen.
This is not going to continue forever. We're going to get this down. And then, woe be to you know who. We must have more confidence in what God thinks of us and what He thinks for us than what we think and what others think. Never mind. You know, our flesh opinion is that we can never live up to God's standards. That's our flesh opinion. Just admit it. It's going to tell us that constantly. The devil reinforces that through our thoughts and other people's thoughts, through circumstances, so-called friends, enemies, and suggestions. If we would listen to God more than self, we would know that we are complete, we are accepted, and we are in and through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's what God tells us. The first time you got saved, full of yourself so much and worth not shooting, that was God's word to you right then. You're safe. You're accepted. You're mine. We get better and we get better and we get better. We work at it. We quote, we read, we pray. And when was the first time you've ever had a freedom from accusation? I'm telling you, every time you walk, every time you talk, and every time you pray, the advocate, your enemy, the devil, is accusing you constantly. Come on, let's admit it. He's accusing you constantly. He doesn't want you to enter into that rest.
He's a liar.
He's going to be a liar every time you call him a liar. And he's not going to be a liar unless you call him a liar. You understand how much truth is in a lie? None. You understand the only thing that will set you free? The truth.
That's right.
So there's no hope in listening to one thing we have to say. Unless it's quoting what God has told us about us. Here's what we need to do. I'm going to make it real hard. We need to stop sinning. Oh, Christians don't sin. We need to stop sinning. Listen to what Hebrews says, 12:1-2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, listen to this. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What's the only thing to keep us from winning the call that God has placed us into? Running the race and winning. Sin. What's this said to Christians? This is not said to the world. Set it aside. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. In case you ever weep and moan at the cross, the Bible says it was joy that was set before him. Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The only one thing that can stop us is sin. All right, do y'all remember the Ten Commandments? You sure? Okay, see, I've got them written down here. They're right here. So that I can remember them. If you're going to start with sin, you've got to start with the Ten Commandments. Because that's the beginning and the end. We've got to stop sinning. Let me not read you the Ten Commandments. Let me remind us of a couple of things. We need to resist the pleasures of sin. I don't care what area of your life that is. If it's self-pity, do you ever meet people that enjoyed self-pity? Oh, they're everywhere. If you don't believe it, when they open their mouth, they're going to tell you all the bad things wrong. All the bad things that have happened. They enjoy it. They, for some reason, they get pleasure out of being the center of attention, of attack. They'll never once get up and say, whoo, but. Self-indulgence and self-pity. Adultery. Listen to me. That's loving anything more than Jesus. More than the Father. You hear me? It doesn't have to be a sexual act. We get wrapped up in that little thing. We get so wrapped up that we hurt a president one day because he didn't penetrate a woman. He said, I didn't have sex with that woman. He's so wrapped up in that law. You hearing me? Loving anything more than Jesus. In other words, looking for another word, another way, another life. Theft. Stealing from God in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Which is also our time, our energy, our love. Preachers like to talk about tithe. Well, that's important. But I guarantee if you'll take care of the other, the tithe will flow. They won't have to preach so much about tithe if they'll say lay off the loving of yourself, the stealing from God. See, this one's easy. I don't lie. You know who most of us lie to? Ourselves. And that's a lie. So you're breaking the commandment of God by lying to yourself. I knew a person one time, a woman that weighed over 300 pounds. And she'd stand in front of the mirror and tell herself she was skinny. And she believed it. The Bible says you can believe a lie. The devil wants you to fool yourself so there won't be any improvement in your life. The biggest lie that we tell, well, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this, therefore God will bless me. God never told you that. What are you telling yourself that way for? The Bible says if you'll seek Him, you'll be blessed. That's all He requires. You seek Him. God's name in vain. You know how to use God's name in vain the most effectively? Pray for yourself all the time and no one else. Because you'll say in Jesus' name and you'll do it over and over praying for yourself. You know what? Listen to me. And you guys may throw tomatoes. You don't have any, right? Listen. If we believed we were seated at the right hand of the Father, we would have nothing to pray about. We'd have tons of time to rejoice. Amen. Every time I opened my eyes, every time I remembered where I was and who I was, I'd spend my time rejoicing Jesus, thanking God. And I wouldn't have time to pray. Now, I'd have time to pray for you or somebody in need. But I don't have any needs. All of my needs are met in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine how excited we'd be if we just got that concept? If we pray anything but thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're praying in vain. We're using God's name in vain. This is the end. Let us stop following flesh ways. Touch the Father by proclaiming and enforcing in our lives. Jesus is my way. Jesus is my truth. Jesus is my life, and I'm getting to the Father. I'll have no other way. My way is bad. God's way is good. Therefore, I choose His way, not mine. I choose what He believes, not what I believe. I choose what He sees, not what I see. You know what He says of me? I'm saved. I wish we could just get that down. If I'm saved, what worries have I got? If I truly believe I'm saved, I have nothing to complain about. If I believe my way is bad and God's way is good, then I'll spend the rest of my life turning from my way and turning to God's way. And you know what? In that process, I will take no condemnation. Come on, that last part's important. As I'm going through the process of not being perfect but changing to perfect, I will take no ridicule. I was preaching that one time in Corpus, and that lady, about where Bill's sitting, She said, I don't like the way you talk about Jesus. And I said, well, then you have two choices. You can pray for me, or you can shut up and accept me just like I am. Now, I didn't end it there. She got quiet, by the way, you can imagine. And I went on, and then immediately when church was over, I went and sat down, not by her, but his wife, by her husband. And I said, if you'd handle this woman at home, I wouldn't have to handle her in public. Was I speaking truth in all of that? Every one of those statements I spoke in truth. I don't give myself permission to shoot my mouth off like that. I'm not giving her permission to do that. I'm not giving anybody permission to do that. You want to shoot your mouth off? Consult with God first. That's praying for somebody. That's what praying really means. I'm consulting you, God, about my enemies, about those that I worry about those that I care about. Now, if you have room, if you have a problem with somebody, pray for them. Pray that God will give you His mind in the matter and how to minister in that area. But first, take care of the little bitty twig in your eye. Because most of the time when we run into a problem, God first wants to consult us about us.
Yes, that's right.
Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm telling you, it's a joyous time. It's not a bad time. It's a joyous time. Amen. It's like Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner every day.
Yes, amen.
Come on. It's a time when I can sit and commune with the Father. It may be about me, but see, it's not about me. It's about what I'm going to be. Right? The reason you throw a board up and drive a nail into it, what a torturous thing, is to not be acceptable what it is, but what it's going to be. Right? When God speaks to me about me, it's an adjustment. It's a fine-tuning. It could be a big thing that needs to be changed. But it's not big in God's mind. Don't let it be big in ours. Same thing about other people. If I see God working something in your life, what do I want to yeah about? What do I want to talk to it about? I'm going to praise God for it. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. By the way, if there's anything you need me to do, I volunteer. Then I don't say, I hope you don't use me. Come on. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I am not the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody in my way is not the way, the truth, and the life. A problem that I have or worry about is not the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. To where? To the Father, who has the total plan.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Y'all stand with me. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Patrick, put that thing with the same category as the other mind of God, Jeremiah. Evidently, I'm not over it yet. If you're listening today, if you listen closely, you heard me come up with a way to get to God's mind, different than I've spoken about before. To me, this is an exciting thing. God's dealing with me a little bit by little bit how to get into His mind. Isn't that something? He's telling us how to get into His mind. Never had anybody do that. You want to get in my mind? Let me tell you how. Most of us don't want anybody in our minds. God wants us in His mind. Come on, you want to know what I'm thinking? Come on, I'll tell you. That's what God's doing. You want to know about those situations, problems? Give me time. You get in my mind and you'll understand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are all hearts clear? Anybody need to say anything? If you do, consult with God. Then say it. Let's be cautious. You know the favorite saying in America is, I'm going to speak my mind? Let's stop doing that. I don't want to speak my mind. I'm going to speak God's mind. Somebody might think we have a brain cell if we'll do that. Come on, you can laugh with me. We might fool people into thinking we're smart if we'll talk God's mind. Yes, sir.
I'd like you to bless me this morning.
What does God say about that? Would God ever say, I gave you the pain? No. Would God tell you that I gave you a way away from that pain?
Yeah.
So that's all I'm asking when I say, what would God say about it? We already know most of what God has to say. We just don't quote it enough. We don't remember enough. That's what we're talking about, Jonathan. And that is when there's something like a pain in your throat comes by, let me tell you how to handle it, okay? And that is to say, now let me see, is this a thought process of God? Would this be what God wishes? Or would He wish me to be healed? Yeah. So now I'll just say, I agree with God. I don't agree with my body. I agree with the Word. I just keep saying that. Where the pain is there until it goes away. Don't make any difference. That's the good fight of faith. And by the way, you're not through. You're going to do that all the days of your life, right, adults? That's the fight we're going to fight. There's going to be some little temptation come along, a pain, an ache, or whatever, and we're to say, that's not God. I didn't read that anywhere in His thoughts. And when you wake up at night, this is good advice for everybody concerned, when you wake up at night, don't waste your time. Praise God. Thank God for His healing. Thank God for His provision. Thank God for sweet sleep. Yeah. You begin to thank God and it puts you to sleep faster than anything in the world. I promise you. You try it, okay? Now, what I'm going to pray is that you hear. See, how can I say that without being rude? I don't need to pray about something God's already decided on. Does that make sense to you? See, God's decision is you walk in health. Jesus paid the price. So what I need to say to you is receive that now in Jesus' name. Walk in it all the days of your life, that you are healed by the bruises and stripes of Jesus and the will of God. Okay? Say, I receive it. I'm healed. Anybody else?
Jerry Lyons asked him last night. She wouldn't be able to be here, but not fun.
God give Harry smarts. No, I'm glad God's giving you the health to do those things. Amen? Well, we do that now, Father. We hold her up to You, to Your Word. We ask You to purge her, cleanse her, purify her from anything that's not You, God. And we know that lung problem is not You. You put them in there healthy. You cause them to be healthy. And only a failure of no faith on our part can cause anything else. And so we speak to her faith. We actually send the word, Jesus, touch her faith. Touch her faith. Send her out, that roaring lion, fighting woman of God like we've heard her in the past. No exceptions. She doesn't fear. She doesn't worry. She rests in You in health. We send that word. Now You back it up with signs and wonders following. And we'll praise You all the days of our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Then we want to lift Joanna up.
Yes.
We want to lift her future up.
Yes.
We don't understand it all. We may vote no. But what we lastly vote is Thy will be done.
Yes, sir.
Joanna, we're not anxious to see you go. But please get out of town in God's will. That's where I rest in that. Our flesh will never, ever like separation. But our spirit can love the will of God in all things. And I agree with what my wife said. And because I feel like it's a family member leaving. It's not much different than my daughter leaving. I'm not anxious about that. But I'm anxious about the will of God in our lives.
Yes.
What we need is to release her into the will of God. Send her by faith into ministry.
Yes.
Joanna, I'm not going to be, and Desiree both, I'm not going to be excited about your leaving unless you go to ministry. That's where this school needs to graduate from. We need to graduate people into ministry. So we speak that. We release you into that. Be a minister to your daughter according to the will of God. A minister to your husband according to the will of God. Be a minister in the church that you're going to. And don't tell God you're not able. He wouldn't suggest it if He knew you weren't able. We do that in Jesus' name. We expect to hear often about the mighty works of God in your life. Everybody agree? Look at her and say amen. Then we speak to Bill, who's been rather spoiled in the last number of months in his life. And he's going to miss the granddaughter. He's going to miss the daughter. But we pray that God, by His Spirit, stays with him, ministers with him, gives him the courage, the determination that this is not a loss, but we, Christians never lose. They gain in Jesus' name. They gain by following and adopting the will of God. And that he's excited about this, and he maintains excitement. And everybody can see. We speak that in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything else?
I know that's wrong. And I want that in my life.
Well, Father, you heard. And this is what I truly believe, Richard. I believe this about everybody. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. That not necessarily means we're not asking enough. It's we're asking amiss. And when God hears you say, I want your peace, he has to begin to work in that area because that's his will. So what we pray, Father, is that you now touch him, minister to him. There's a door that's shut in him, not in you, that blocks peace. We ask you to kick down that door, God, whatever it costs and whatever it takes, that where he can see you and know who you really are, and that'll put nothing but a smile on his face, praise in his heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm expecting God to do great things in our midst. Why? Because I know he wants to. Why don't we get in out of his way by getting in his way? Understand? Get out of his way by getting with him, flow with him. He wants this, we need to want it with him. Amen? All righty. Father, we thank you for your visit with us here today. We thank you that our thought processes are changed in Jesus' name. That toes have been stepped on. Hearts have been pricked. That our spirit has been challenged. That our mind has been weakened, but the mind of Christ grows. We thank you, Lord, that we will never be the same after today. That we are kicking down the doors of hell by our faith, by our determination to agree with you in all things, in Jesus' name. To serve you in all things and seek the way, the truth, and the life, 24/7. We love you, Lord. Seal the word so it brings forth the harvest that you desire. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.